I feel like the Lord has given me a thought that would be profitable to us. And I know that the afternoon service, I know the challenges of it. So I'm going to get right with it. And maybe you won't fall asleep. The burden that I have has to do with the focus that we have. My soul is continually in my hand. And it's real easy to lose the focus about what it's all about and about what I'm doing. And for each one of us today, individually, I think it would be good to just get a hold of this one thought to help us refocus or stay focused on this idea. And I know that we can say I need to focus on Jesus, of course. But I need to focus Jesus on me. Because I can focus Jesus on everybody else. See? But the focus that I'm thinking about today has to do with me not losing the focus that I want to be saved. That I want to make heaven. With all that we heard through this meeting, you can say, that was good. That was good. And yet not really get the focus of what it means to you. That I want to take that, what I've heard, and apply it to my life. Make it work. And have a focus on, I want, my focus is on me, for me to be saved. So I've got to take every opportunity that I can to be saved. And to realize that salvation is a great work, but I'm less than a perfect being. Understand what I'm saying? God's got a perfect plan for imperfect people. But I got to remember that I'm an imperfect being needing a perfect plan. And that I need it, and I need to understand and focus on the idea that it's possible. Maybe it's not possible for you, but it's more than possible for me. It's not only possible and only likely, but it is absolute truth that there's things about me that I don't understand about myself. I have to realize and understand that God knows about me when I don't. And to focus on the plan that God has made for me to get help for me. A help that I don't even understand that I need sometimes. We all have come from different backgrounds, different situations, are made up of different emotional places, and all these things that makes me an individual also makes me individual in the needs or the places that I have that I need the Lord to help me to be able to focus on that and get help for it. I need to focus on Marty, is what I'm trying to say. I need to focus on my life. Part of what I'm doing here is a part of that focus is Marty. Do you realize I love you all and I want to come and do what the Lord has, but I'm doing what I'm doing because the Lord wants, it's a focus about my life. I could stay home, but I'd displease the Lord if I did. So I come. Now, you may say, well, that sounds selfish. Well, it's about my soul being in my hand. And me working with God with that and the needs that the Lord, I don't know the path to follow in my life, so I've got to rely on God's leadership to do that. But I also recognize from time to time that there is things about me, my wife won't mind me mentioning this, but it's real easy for me to do things like, and I love my wife very much, very, very, very much. She's very special to me. And you know, why would I then, if she'd say, honey, would you help me with something? Then why would I say, no? You know, I can do that. And then after I've answered her that way, I'm thinking, what did I do? What in me made me feel that way at that moment about that?
I don't recognize, I can't dig in, find out what that, but I recognize that ain't the way I want to be. I need you to help me, Lord. That's the kind of focus that I'm talking about, a focus on my life. So I want to look at a scripture in the 18th of John. Oh, let's see. I'm going to start with the 36th verse. It says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, forget the language here a minute. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all. But the way it's written, and when he said this, he went out again. In other words, he didn't wait for the answer. He didn't wait for the answer. Jesus said, I came to bear witness unto the truth. And he said, as if it's too abstract to answer, what is truth? And he walked away before Jesus could tell him the answer to his question. And Lord, help us that we don't walk away from the answer. It has. So I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to pick on the sisters, I guess, and just ask you this question. Have you ever said to your husband, honey, does this outfit make me look fat? Now, what answer do you want? What's your expectation of the answer? I would say if you don't want a real honest answer, don't ask a real honest question. But really, what answer do you want? Because that's a real, I'm going to tell you, that's a tough place to be in. To be asked a question like that. But what, not if it's genuinely want to be answered. Not if it's really something that I want the answer to this question. Because I want to change or I want to do something different. But most of the time, we don't really want the answers. We want to be agreed with. We want to be agreed with. You agree with me. I'll ask you, well, how do you think I'm doing? But you better answer it well. I want you to answer. Well, that's not what we really want to do. I want to focus on the needs that I have. I want to focus to become better or to have a greater witness of Christ, more of Christ in my life. I want to find out where my shortcomings are. I want to know what they are. I want to focus on me. I don't need to focus on you. That's your job. I don't even want the responsibility of focusing on you. You focus on you. Lord, let me focus on me. Help me, Lord, to understand that I am I'm a clavenger. I was born in a certain place in West Virginia. All that culture really bleeds into me. It's who I am. I picked up a lot of things in life that is neither good nor bad. But some of them aren't expedient, and some of them are bad, and some of them are good. I need to know how to deal with all of that in my life. And I need to deal with what? Why do I respond, and why do I want to reject things that are good, and why do I want to pick in things that ain't? Why would I want to respond in a way that's not right to respond? Because something in here, in me, is like that. And I need to know from the Lord, I need to focus on it. Lord, help me here with this. Now, after me and Tammy was first married, I come home from work one day and to supper. And listen, I'm a very grateful person. And any time someone does something for me, I'm very thankful for that. Well, she had made supper and it was spaghetti and I sat down to it. And listen, I'm not finicky at all. I can about put down anything that's edible without too much problem. And she had made spaghetti and it was taxing that part of me. But I wouldn't want to hurt her feelings about it. And probably would have said nothing about it except for she ends up saying, how do you like the spaghetti? What do you do? Well, be honest with you, I didn't want to have to do it again. I mean, I had to answer it. And the question I hope is answered was asked in a legitimate way to say, I really want to know. I really want to know what works. And it isn't to be hurtful to me that I've done something that isn't tolerable or something. We shouldn't look at it that way, folks. We should look at it as it's a blessing to be able to find out, to get the answers. I want to be, if she had a desire to be a good cook, and it turned out well. But I had to say, in the sense of, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I had to say, this is not good. Because it wasn't good. And I wanted to say, this is not good. Can you take that in your life? I want to challenge you today. Can you take that? Can you take the expression, that's not good? Can you take the expression, you need help? Can you take the expression that something's not right here? You can see that it's not working? Because it's a blessing, not a curse. It is. It's a blessing. It's not a curse. You know, people can believe all kinds of things. What is truth? I love the truth today. The truth hurts sometimes. It hurts sometimes to know the truth. That's why you'll hear me sometimes express funny notions about the idea that I'm getting older. Listen, I'm glad that the Lord let me live long enough to get older. I like where I'm at in life right now. But it is a challenge, some of the things that's in there. That's why you hear me saying, yeah, about my hair falling out and it's turning gray and I'm wrinkling and all these things are happening. Because it's the truth. I love the truth. It's the truth about me. Okay? Do you love the truth? You know, I want the truth about everything in my life. Even things in life. And I'll give you a few examples. Just to think about what people will believe. Now up home, if a baby gets thrashed, anybody, you know what that is when they get the yeast, I think it is, in the mouth, and a lot of little babies will do that. Now, if you will find someone that has never seen their dad, if they blow in the baby's mouth, it will heal that. They do it up home all the time. If they've never seen their dad, now they have to be somebody that's never seen their dad, and if they blow in their mouth, it'll heal that. That's what they say. And the multitudes believe it. But I have to say, well, how does that work? I don't mind that it works or it don't work. I just want to know what the truth is. That's all. Just give me the truth. I want to know why that would work that way. It's honestly, it's a superstition. It's something that it come from somewhere. I don't even know where it come from. But people do it regularly. My grandmother never knew her, never saw her father. Her father died before she was born. She was called upon regularly to blow in babies' mouths as a remedy for that. And the testimonies was that it worked. Not only did she do it, she was good at doing it. No, I've heard the testimonies that people would go up and talk to my grandmother and she'd take the baby and blow in their mouth and do that. And by the time they left away from her house, the baby was cleared up. Well, I didn't say you had to believe it. I'm just telling you the testimonies. I don't believe it. But I want to know what the truth is. And my point is, do you know what people will believe? Believe all kinds of things. I saw a little child one time that had a string around his neck and had a piece of elderberry bark on the end of it. I said, what's that? Well, that is a remedy for the croup. It's a remedy for the croup. You get a piece of elderberry bark and tie it on a string and it goes around there. And so I said, well, how does that work? Well, I don't know how it works. It just works. I said, well, is it the aroma? Is it the smell? I mean, what causes it to work? I don't know why it works. And I'm saying, I don't think it works. Well, I'm an unbeliever. I mean, it's terrible that it don't work. I don't mind if it don't work or it does work. But I want to know what the truth is. Understand what I'm saying? It's very important to me in life to know what is the truth. If you was to ask most everybody up in West Virginia, I think most of them would tell you that the mountains are full of panthers. Many of them would say there's black panthers. When I lived all my life up there, there's no panthers up there. No one runs over them. Nobody shoots them. Nobody sees them. But they're everywhere. But only at night. Only at night. And then they're everywhere. You know, people will believe what people want to believe. And when I say, I don't think so, I have everybody against me because I'm saying, I just want the truth. Where's he at? Where's his track? I want to see something that proves that he's there. I don't mind if he's there. I don't mind if he's not there. I want to know whether he is or whether he isn't. Now that's all just neither here nor there. But you know, I approach my spiritual life the same way. I really want to know what it is. I want to know what's there. I want to know, is that really the truth? Is that really the truth? Should I be doing that or not doing that? I want to know it. If it works, I want to know it. If it don't, I want to know it. I want to know what's in my life. Pilate just simply says, what's the truth? And he walks away. I want to say, Lord, what's the truth? Then I want to stand back and allow the Lord to give me the answer to the question. What is the truth? Am I here being faithful? The Apostle Paul said one time, it's no great matter that you judge me, for I don't judge myself. But I wait until the Lord comes, who's judge of all, see? I wait until He comes and makes the proper judgment, because the truth of it is, you don't like me, so you're going to judge me wrong. I like me, so I'm going to judge me right, and the Lord's going to judge me honestly. See? But we need the Lord's judgments. Lord, help us today, because I am responsible for me. So I want my focus in life to be on me. I can look, and because my wife's close to me, and say that she needs some help. But I look at me and say, Lord, it's me in need of prayer. It's me that needs some help. Do you know if you swallow toothpaste, it'll cause spots on your lungs? That's what some of the old timers up home said. I never figured out how they ever knew the spots were there. But that's what they said. I didn't believe it. I still don't believe it, but there's people that believe it. They'll believe anything. I'll ask you today, is global warming, do you think man-made global warming is real? It's a big thing out there in the world. I don't care if you answer yes, no, or anything. I don't know if mine, if it is or it isn't, but I want to know, what is the truth? What is the truth? I want to know what the truth is. I want to know why the people that doing it was fudging the numbers. I want to know what the truth is about all those things. And I definitely want to know what the truth is about my own personal life. I want to know if I am going to be fit. See, I can put on the show for you, and I may be able to out-argue you. I may be able to outmaneuver you. I might be able to have better thought than you or better language than you, but I'm going to have to stand before God, who's going to look down into the very intents of my life. That makes a difference. Because I can't out-lawyer the Lord if I could you. I can't out-think Him. So I'm going to have to be right. So I'm going to have to deal with this notion. Who am I? And what am I? And am I really true? Am I really right? Lord, help me here. I want to be right before the Lord. If I'm right before the Lord, between me and the Lord, then I'll be right with everything that matters. And it isn't about all those other things anyway. It's about the Lord being able to get His gentle, loving Spirit into my heart till it's really working the way He wants it to, without me as a person getting in its way, staying in its way, without all the little things that was there that made me do differently or make me want different. Folks, you believe what you want to. Do you know the bottom line of belief is you will accept what you want to believe, and what you don't want to believe, you'll neglect it. You'll put it aside. So then the question has to be, then why do you want to believe certain things? Why do you want to believe these things exist? Why do you want to believe? There's a need for wanting to believe it.
I want to believe that the Lord is in control. I want to believe that the Lord has picked my life in the path of my life. I want to believe that the Lord is got the keys of life and death. I want to believe that He's God of the universe. I want to believe that God rules this. Man's not going to destroy this earth. God's going to. Why? Because He said He was going to. That's why. I want to believe God, and so therefore it changes everything that I do, because that's what I want to do. And the answers to my life is in the good book. When I focus my life on Him. When I focus, got my focus, Lord, look into me. Look into me. Oh, let's get another scripture. Over in Revelations, 3rd chapter. Verse 14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful, true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest," because you say, what would you say about yourself? There was a scripture where two men went up to the temple to pray. One man says, "Oh, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are. Even this publican over here, a sinner, I thank God I'm not like that. Well, I fast several times a week, pay alms of all of God, give my money, do all these things. I'm just a right, good person." The other feller wouldn't even lift his head up. Jesus told this account. The one man said of himself who he was. Did he see himself right? Did he do those things? Well, sure he did. I think he done those things. The things he told the Lord is the way he felt about it. I thank God I'm not as other men are. Like that fella? I'm glad I'm not like him. Alright, good. Glad you ain't like him. I did fast. I fast every week, same way. I give alms of all I have. All these kinds of things. Telling the Lord how good he was. He all those things, but was he right about himself? He wasn't right about himself. He said who he was. The other fellow said who he was too. He said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Kept his head down. "Have mercy on me, a sinner." He said, "Thou sayest." Thou sayest, you tell it. What would your story be today about yourself? It's an interesting question. It isn't for me to look at it, but maybe you ought to write it down for yourself. I was in a situation one time to where I didn't know exactly what to do, and I pondered it around for a while, and then I come to the conclusion, this is what I have a right to do. This is what I'm going to do. Got every right to do it. It'd be the right thing to do. That's what I'm going to do. But you know the Lord, He's faithful, and He just don't leave you like that all the time. And I figured out this is what I was going to do. And the Lord comes along. He starts dealing with me and says, "I like to read all these books about these challenging men and women of God that went through the fires and all these things, and they just had the grace of God on them to do right." And the Lord started bringing my mind to those kind of things, the George Muellers and the ones in our heritage and all those that have had those. Oh, and I thought about that, and the Lord asked me to write it in my mind, write it like you'd write a story, and you're the main saint character in it, and how would you want to present it to the world? And you know, when I started thinking about it, I couldn't bring myself to bring it like I was going to do it. I picked a real low road to go on, and it didn't match any of the faithful people that had done it. And I said, "Lord, have mercy on me." I had said what the answer was, and that wasn't the answer at all. The Lord had grace for that situation beyond what I was looking at and wanted me to perform something in it. These people said, now the Lord says here, thou sayest, because thou sayest, I'm rich. Did they have stuff? Yeah, they did. The history of these Laodiceans was a very rich place. They had riches. So they said it the way it was. I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. But was that their state? That wasn't their state before the Lord. How did they ever get to a place that they only looked at the things that they could see with their eyes and never saw any further than that? Because they missed it altogether who they were. They wasn't rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. They had great needs in their life. They had great places for God to help them with their life. But they didn't see that. But this is what the Lord saw in them. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? They said one thing that looked so pretty and shiny and bright, and the Lord told another thing that was right ugly. I wonder. You write your own. But how do you see yourself? I never get beyond seeing myself in need. I've been too long to know how much I need God. I may be have some other places, but one of them's not this. I know I need God. I need Him every day. I need Him to keep going. I need God. These people wrote the wrong story about themselves. So you write yours, and maybe you're right. Well, I'm right there. I don't have a need of a thing. When I go to the camp meetings, I just go to enjoy it and hope everybody will get help. That's what I do. Just go and hope that the ones that need help will get it. I wonder how many people actually go and say, I sure hope people get help. When maybe, not maybe, always, and I don't want to sound harsh, but folks, ain't a person in this building could make a claim that they don't need it. Amen. To be able to say, Lord, help me. Because you know what I'm finding? My life's different than it was 10 years ago. It's definitely different than it was 20 years ago. It's different, and there's changing, and there's a different challenge for every stage of my life. There's another challenge, there's another place, and in every one of those places, I need God to help me through it. Now that I'm hitting the upper end of middle age and going into older age, I need help. I need help from God to deal with who I am and what I'm doing and what I'll be doing and how to handle my children with grandchildren. Now, I'm just starting into that really good now. All those different things, if I want to be right and know how to handle and know how to have grace and know how to help them and be what I should be, I'm going to need God. I'm not rich and increased and don't have a need of anything. I need something. And you do too. Because you've got challenges too. But these people were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. Oh, see, the Lord wants us to be rich, but not with the riches of this world. He wants us to be rich in truth. Rich in the truth of God. That this is the reality of God. What should I really do? Many people struggle with the idea of just simple truths. What should I do as a woman, in a saintly woman? How should I dress? How should I walk? What should I be? God's got your answer for you. God knows exactly. And He knows why there's such a challenge in you against it. It's no way you would fail against it. All of those kind of things. As a man living in 2014 13 with all of the things in the world that are round about us and all of that, to be honest with myself and say what kind of needs I need to have power to be pure in this life. There's a great challenge of those things in the world around us today. There's impurities on every hand around us. But to be able to say, I need something down deep in me to keep me from falling to the kind of things that the world's offering. Because there is inside the disposition to fail. And I need the Lord to help me and for me to recognize it. Over in the Let's look at that. We looked at it a little last night, I think. But in the 51st Psalm, I want to make a few comments before we get to the Psalm. But the 51st Psalm, as you can see, is the Psalm that David wrote concerning his great sin. But how did he get there? How did the great King David get to the place that he got in? He had been so faithful. But there was something inside him that didn't seem like it cropped up anywhere else, or at least it wasn't mentioned. But there was something in there, wasn't there? What happened to him anyway? Did he get bored? I mean, it wasn't like he needed another wife. He had those. What was he doing? Boredom? Needed something exciting, something different? What was going on with him? I don't know how to answer all that, but I want to tell you this. Something did happen. And he didn't know himself very well because he didn't know that. Lord, help us focus on our own salvations. To focus, because every one of us has a besetting sin. Every one of us has a weakness. Every one of us has places that would have the potential to take us down. And for me, to focus on my life in the Lord is a full-time job. It's full-time. So what happens with David? When the times the kings go out to war, David didn't go. Mistake number one. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Focus on your life with the Lord. If it's a time for you to go, go. See? He got in trouble because he wasn't in the place that he wasn't in the Lord's place. I want to warn us today, because it's very easy, folks, to get out of the will of God. Very easy to focus or miss the focus and become involved in so many other things and not keep the focus on my soul's salvation and being where God has me, because where God has me is my protection. It's my pavilion. It's my shelter. In God's will for my life is where I'm secure. I get out of that place, I'm asking for it. David got out of the will of God. The Scripture says that he was born to be the warrior. He was created to be the warrior. God made him the warrior king. He was to clear out the land for the peace of the land. That was David's calling in life. Then what was he doing at the house? This is your time, David. This is the time that you should have been longing for and waiting for, because you're a warrior and it's time to battle. So he sends his armies and he stays. He got in trouble. He got in trouble because he wasn't focused on his life with the Lord, because his life was a warrior. He should have been where he was at. He should have had a focus on God there. And what happened was he got into a snowballing effect and things and boredom. And you ever been bored? You ever in your life with the Lord be bored? You try to get a song and that don't do it. The Scripture don't do it. And you're just bored. You want to do something. Just nothing happened. You ever been in that kind of a place? That's dangerous. So you know what the story is. Before long it snowballed and he's in a terrible place. And can't get out of it and tries to deceive and do all these things to get out of it. And he can't get out of it. 51st Psalm. Sixth verse says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." And I've looked at that a number of times and thought, why did it say it like that? More than just truth of words. That's outward, isn't it? Not just a truth of words. Or a truth even of action. Because actions can be deceiving too. I can go through the steps, the motions, do those kind of things. But he says, a truth in the inward part. Thou desirest me to be truth from the inside out. That I get it fixed. There's a scripture, I think it's in Luke, that it says, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Then that says, I ain't whole. Because Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. He's the one that comes in and cures and heals and blesses all of those wounds and hurts and all those things that makes you what you don't even know you are.
But down in there, we respond, we build walls, we defend ourselves, we do all these things by things that's happened in our lives. We're not whole to the ability to have the normal relationships that we could because we're wounded and hurt and we don't even understand and know why we do what we do. But down in there, many times, there's all kind of ways of coping with sins and bad things, and we're not whole. But Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. And thou desirest truth in the inward part. In other words, the Lord desires to go further in you than you normally are willing for Him to go. Lord, I'm not so willing. I want to open up that room. You remember the song? We're going to open up that room. There's a room there and I'm ashamed that you got. I don't want to open it up. And the Lord ain't going to open it up, but He wants you to open it up. Focus on it. Focus on my life. Lord, help me to see. You better put some eye salve on me. That's what that scripture in Revelation is going to say, that you can have some eye salve put on you. To be able to really see. See what? See everybody else? No, see me. Me, because I'm the only one that can do anything about me. You can't do anything about Marty. You know you can't. You can't do anything about me. It's going to take me opening it up to the Lord to do anything about me. And the Lord desires that so much to get us totally right. He don't want us to be half or partial. He don't want us to be a facade or just a personality. He wants to build a character. He wants to engrave on us the image of Christ. He wants it down in deep in our hearts and erasing all of those hurts and things that make us respond or talk out of turn or do anything we shouldn't. He wants to bring the image of Christ out of our lives. You never get that if you don't focus on yourself. You've got to say, Lord, shine the light down in me. The psalmist wrote, search me, O Lord. In other words, turn the searchlights on. Get it down in there until you can see what's going on. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Search me, O Lord. Try me. Know if there's any wicked way. That's a funny thing to say, isn't it? I mean, like the Lord don't already know. Oh, go on. But that's not what that's about. You know what it's about? Lord, I'm giving you permission to tell me. That's what that's about. That isn't, it isn't suggesting that the Lord don't know if I don't allow Him to know. Of course He knows. But the expression is, Lord, find that in me and show it to me so that I can do something about it. Look in there and see if there be any wicked way. And what's the Lord supposed to do with it if He finds it? Oh, Lord, I wasn't intending on you to show me. Just find out and see if there's anything in there. No, that's not what that means. It means, Lord, reveal to me any wicked way in me. And wicked means twisted. So it's not necessarily these big evil sins that you're thinking about. But you know what a wicker basket is? It's a woven. It's twisted. It's woven together. Wicked, that's what wickedness is. It takes what God done naturally in humanity and the devil and sin takes it and twists it. That's why people that want love do the strangest things. People that want love and attention goes and do all these crazy things to their bodies and tattoo themselves and do all these weird piercings and all. You know, that's just a search for attention and love, basically. But it's twisted. It's all warped around. And like people that want to be somebody and they want to be looked at somebody and they want to be respected. Many people are warped. Men especially are warped because they want to get tough and have big muscles and they want to go around beating up people or showing people that are strong. Do you know why the inside really wants? They want somebody to be respecting them. It's a weird way to wanting respect, but that's what they're after. They want a natural, they want to be respected. They want people to respect them for who they are. And it's twisted, it's warped. See what the Lord wants to do? He wants to go down into the heart. He wants to go down in there and change that person that he don't have to be that way. That he can be respected in righteousness and be somebody important and he don't have to go show it all the time and show off and those kind of things. We have mercy on people, but to be honest with you, most of the troubles we have in life is because of wickedness. It's because somebody don't understand who they are inside and they're insecure and that insecurity comes out in all kind of different ways and it shows all kind of different elements, but the Lord Jesus wants to make you whole. He wants to go in and say, you're as important as anybody. You don't have to do those. I want to make you a whole person. Somebody faithful and somebody that's right and somebody that's worth. Brother Jim Upholm was such an example to us because he was such a crude, rude, tough, old man, a young man, and the Lord got a hold of him, and in the time that the Lord, He created somebody that was, to me, very special. I told my wife many times, he was my best friend. He was 40 years older than me. But he was my best friend. But you know what? A lot of people said that. He was my best friend to all these people. Was he special? No. He was somebody that allowed the Lord to look deep down into him and change him because what he was made. He was raised very poor. He was raised having to do it. He said all these things. But the Lord Jesus made him whole. And changed all other things and ways that he had in him. And he would be the first to tell you it didn't happen overnight. But in the process of him yielding himself to the Lord, God was able to work and deal and bring those things to the surface. And he told me a number of them, folks, and they wasn't pretty. In the course of his living for the Lord, that the Lord would fall to the top and they would come out and there he was, a broken, contrite person saying, what kind of a man am I? And saw himself and went to the Lord and got that healing. So he became somebody that I trusted totally. You know why? Because he had truth in the inward parts. That's why. He was truth down in him. And he loved the truth. We have this same opportunity. It says, the Lord, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. See, I must be dirty. I see a place, Lord, that you've shown me. Help me. Over in the book of James, let's see, it's James 1, I think. And 22 says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Well, you know, I've never liked to have my picture taken. Never have. When I was little, I hated to get my picture taken. And at family reunions, they was always wanting a picture taken, and I'd always trying to hide and go in the back, and they'd make me come up there and get my picture taken, and I always hated it. And now people want my picture taken, and I got more grace, so I try to do the picture thing and stand there and let... You know what I don't like about pictures? They're just brutally honest. You take a picture, and it'll show you what is in the picture. It just will show you. You know this is what this is talking about? You look into the mirror, the glass, you look into the glass, and you look in there and you see something. Well, what are you going to do about it? You got something smudged on your face. You know, I got something smudged on my face. And go on. This is what he was talking about. It's like somebody that looks into the mirror, but they go away and they forget what they saw. They forget what needed to be done. I need a haircut. I need to comb my hair. I need to brush my teeth. I need to do something for myself. Make myself presentable. Go away and don't do any of those things. But this is talking, of course, spiritually. It's like somebody that listens and hears the words and possibly maybe that word of God that comes so forcibly, maybe that was for me. Nah. That wasn't for me. Before I started preaching, I was doing some teaching. Brother Tony got up one Sunday evening and was preaching on one of those, the Lord needs a person to stand in the gap type messages. And I sat there and fidgeted in my seat. And I turned around and I looked across the aisle and thought, nah, I don't fit him. I look back. I tried to fit that message. I believe if the Lord sends a message, He sends it for a reason. And I couldn't get away from my faith, so I wanted to pin it on somebody. The Lord's after somebody. Pretty strong. Who is it? I was looking around to find out who it was. But down in me, the reason I was looking is because I was afraid it was for me. Afraid of what He was saying was for me. It was for me. He wasn't, that's what He was doing. The Lord's after me. See? Maybe the word's for you. You know, you're a lot better off to come with that heart. I'm just going to tell you, as a matter of course, if you want to be blessed, always expect it's for you. Always ask the Lord. Not only that, but go asking the Lord, Lord, if you've got anything tonight, help the distractions of the service to not be so much that I'll miss what you've got for me. Lord, I want to know, is the spaghetti I'm making, is it edible? Is what I'm wearing, am I too big in it? What I want to know, Lord, about my life. Now, if it isn't prosperous for me, for You to open me up totally and me see me like You see me, which could be too much for anybody to handle, then You just give it to me in the bits that I can take it, and Lord, I'll take it, and I'll be a doer. I'll actually go forth from this and actually work with it and labor with it and pray with it until I can get the victory of it so that I can be changed. And then I'm a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only. And that man that's a doer, he's blessed. He's a blessed man, the doer is. But the hearer, the amener, the one that hears it and goes his way, he's accomplished nothing. He's wasted his time. But Lord, as we look into that perfect love, as we listen to the Word, as we into the Word, Lord, let that speak to my heart. I am responsible. Responsible. You're responsible. And I'm going to tell you, you might think that you can blame it on mom, blame it on dad, you can blame it on the preacher, and you can blame it on the brother, you blame it on the neighbors. The church has not been like it used to be. And you can say all those things, and you know what? At the end of it, you're going to have to give an account for yourself, for your own soul. Because there's grace enough for it. So Lord, help us to look into it and say, that's me. That's who I am. I think I got one more scripture I wanted to comment on. It's a familiar scripture. It's in Proverbs, I think it's 26 and 28. Yeah, Proverbs 26 and 28. Maybe it's 28 and 26, maybe. That's it. Proverbs 28 and 26 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." In other words, in your own desires. The things that you want, you're a fool to trust in your own heart. You know your own heart will lie, your own heart will lie to you. It'll allow you to believe things that because you want to. See, the main thing is because you want to. When my heart's in it, I want to believe it. I'll believe it. When that's what I want to believe, it's what I'll believe. But this scripture says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." So Lord, help us that we don't walk, or we don't trust in our own heart. I'm not going to judge it, Lord, until You come and judge it for me. I'm going to leave this part of my life, I'm going to leave it unjudged. I know I judge it to my favor. I know I judge it to my benefit. Many people do that with their own families. They just cannot make a right judgment on their families at all. They are so invested in it that they cannot tell the truth about it. You know, it's the truth that's going to set them free. I tell you, my children know if Daddy's going to tell you the truth. They know I love them. I didn't even question. They may say, "Daddy's harsh," but I'm going to tell you what they get is the truth. You want to talk to Daddy? You're going to get the truth. Why? Because I love you too much to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I ain't so invested emotionally that I can't tell you the truth. Many people get so invested emotionally that they trust their own heart. They go with their own heart what they feel. Oh, it can't be wrong to feel this way because this is love. and allowed their hearts to deceive them, and they start accepting wrong things. Lord, help us not to accept wrong things. Love the truth and the truth for our own soul. I want to know when I'm wrong. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm reserved when anybody comes up and starts telling me the wrongs that I have. You want to know why? Because I've been counseled a lot of times by people that didn't know half what they were talking about. So I'm not real quick to jump onto that and say I should be so pliable that I just believe what people say. But I'm always willing to say, I'll pray about that. I want to find out if that element's there. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth about my own heart. My soul is continually in my hand. As we go forth from this meeting, the things that you heard, that maybe they apply to you. The days ahead and those things, I think, if you apply this and say, I'm going to focus on my experience of salvation in my own life. I'm going to make a focus on that. Yes, I'm going to help people and all that, but when it comes, I'm going to focus and make sure on a daily basis that I'm approved of God. And that I have honestly opened up the things that I put once on the altar. Have you ever had them things jump up? I put things on the altar and just to find out that within so long a time that they're up running around. And I have to go catch them and wrestle them down again. Take them and put them down. Well, I consecrated that thing when I was saved. I consecrated it again a couple years ago and I consecrated it last year. And it's up and running again. I got to go get it. And chase it down. Maybe you don't have everything. But I have places and things that I've liked and loved in life that I have to go. I'll tell you one of them. Every year it seems like I'm back to saying I love to grow things in a garden and kind of farming. And I'm a traveling evangelist. I can't even stay and take care of anything. And I'm always wanting to do this. And every year the spring comes and they send me these seed magazines and these fruit tree magazines, and I get so excited and I start to want to plant and do all this, and every year it's the same old thing. Oh Lord, help my desire, help me want to go to the camp meeting other than planting trees. Help me to do that because my heart's telling me that I love this, to do this stuff. Every year I got to go grab that thing by the horns, wrestle him down and tie him back down. I got to do it though. I do it. Because I love the Lord more than all these things. And after a while, yeah, I'll get a few seeds. I actually raised some pumpkins this last year. It's because I could plant them and leave, and they grew when I got back. I had some. That's the way it worked. It wasn't because I had attended to them, because I was going all summer long. But you know, there was a part there that I had to go grab a hold of it again and say, Lord, no. No, Lord. I'm not going to leave and be discontented all the time I'm gone about wanting to be back and take care of this stuff. I'm going to commit it back again, dealing with my own soul. Because you know what? I've invested into the Lord, and I want to see what the end of the Christian race is. You pray for me.